5 steps to finding hidden website optimization gems.
Back off, man. I'm a scientist.
It's the Conversion Scientist Podcast. I'm Brian Massey, the Conversion Scientist. This podcast originally appeared on Marketingland in the Analytics and Conversion column. You'll find this and so much more incredible stuff for online marketers at Marketingland. www.marketingland.com. How do you decide which elements of your site to test? This is the question that is at the heart of all website optimization. Now, a better question is, how do you determine what not to test? I mean, it's relatively easy to come up with ideas that might increase your conversion rate. We typically come up with 50, 75, 100 or more ideas for each of the client sites we optimize. Filtering through this list is the hard part. So here's the approach we take. Step 1, look for evidence. You should never test anything that you don't have some evidence as a problem. These ideas are called hypotheses for a reason. A hypothesis is an educated guess, an informed fabrication, a database brain fart. So you need to educate, inform, and find the data on your ideas, or they don't qualify as hypotheses. They're just happy thoughts. The first benefit of looking for evidence is that you might be able to eliminate a hypothesis. You might find evidence that it's not a problem. Here's an example hypothesis for a product page of an e-commerce site. If we put an add to cart button at the bottom of the page, more visitors will add an item to their cart. This sounds reasonable. Yet, if few people are scrolling down the page, this hypothesis won't hold water. We can look at attention data or heat map data generated by click tracking and scroll tracking software such as Crazy Egg. This will tell us how far visitors are scrolling on the product pages of the site. If they aren't scrolling far, then we may save this hypothesis for another time. When we're identifying what to test, we give each hypothesis a rating from 1 to 5 for how much evidence there is. A rating of 1 means there is no evidence, that the hypothesis is just an idea. A rating of 5, however, tells us that there is overwhelming evidence that there is a problem that this hypothesis will address. I've written and talked about the sources of data that are available to help you with this. You'll find them on the Conversion Scientist blog and right there at marketingland.com. Step 2 in our process is to rate the traffic. We want to avoid optimizing the wrong parts of the site. Our hypothesis list should have ideas for site-wide improvement as well as page-specific improvements. Changing the order of the site's navigation, for example, is a site-wide change. Adding trust symbols to the checkout page is a page-specific change. If we were to rate the value of the traffic on a scale of 1 to 5 again, what would we give these two scenarios? They both might get a 5. A site-wide change, such as adjusting the navigation, impacts 100% of the visitors. That's a 5 in my book. Accordingly, changing a page that is only seen by 20% of the visitors or less gets a 1. Now, visitors to the checkout page often account for a small percentage of visitors. Why give them a 5? Because what this traffic lacks in volume, it makes up for in opportunity. Visitors that are checking out have demonstrated significant buying intent. These visitors are very valuable to us. Other pages may not get as much attention. The About Us or Fact pages may not be so interesting to us. They might get a 2 or a 3. Favor hypotheses that impact the most or most interesting visitors. Step 3. How hard is it to test? For each of our hypotheses, we want to understand what the level of effort might be. It's easy to change the text of a guarantee or an offer. It's much more difficult to add live chat to a site. If we use our 1 through 5 scale again, we might give the change in the copy a 1 or 2. Adding live chat requires hiring a live chat vendor, doing integration, and staffing for our chatty visitors. This is a 5 in my book. You don't want to favor simple tests for simplicity's sake now. Don't rush off and test button color just because it's a 1 on the level of effort scale. Likewise, hold off on swinging for the fences until the low-hanging fruit has been found. Leave your 5s for another time. Step 4. What does experience tell you? Finally, we want you to gauge the impact that you think this hypothesis will have. It's based on what you've learned from previous tests you've done. It's based on your experience as an online marketing team. It is based on research you've done, such as reading this column. How about a scale from 1 to 5 again? If you rate a hypothesis as a 1, you're saying that this is an arbitrary idea. If it has a big impact, that will be a surprise. However, if you rate your hypothesis a 5, you're saying that you believe this change will have a significant impact on the visitors and the site. You're expecting a big win. Our intention can often lead us astray. You'll find yourself rating hypotheses higher on this impact scale, not because of your experience, but because you want to try them. Or you might favor one just because you like the idea. These sort of sentiments don't belong in a scientific environment such as that which we try to create. However, we cannot ignore the intuition of experienced business people. This is only one of the four factors we weigh, the others being proof, traffic value, and level of effort. A high impact score may tip a hypothesis into the top 10, but only if it has good ratings in the other categories. Once a hypothesis has been proven or disproved, there is no more role for intuition. When the data is there, we favor the data. However, when deciding what to test, we like to mix in a little gut. Step 5 now is to bucket the winners. Once we have ratings for each of the 5 areas, we can weigh a hypothesis. We simply add together the values for proof, impact, and visits or buyers affected, and then we subtract the level of effort. Then we take one more step and put each of our top hypotheses into one of 5 buckets. Bucket 1, user experience. This is for hypotheses that would alter the layout, design, or other user interface or user experience issues. Number 2, credibility and authority. This is for hypotheses that address the trust and credibility issues of the business and the site. Bucket 3, social proof, is for hypotheses that build trust by showing others' experience. Bucket 4, value proposition. This is for hypotheses that address the overall messaging and value proposition. Quality, availability, pricing, shipping, business experience, etc., all fall under value proposition and messaging. And the last bucket is risk reversal, for hypotheses that involve warranties, guarantees, and other assurances of safety. It's important to have these buckets because when we look at the top hypotheses on a list that are ranked, we can see if there are any of these buckets standing out. On Marketing Land, I show you an example of one of our lists, and 6 hypotheses in the top 10 are in the user experience bucket. So this gives us a hint about the overall challenges with the site. Apparently, in this example, the site would not be well designed for conversion, and we'll want to look at layout and user experience issues. We may spend our initial efforts finding out what kind of user experience these visitors want, since our analysis says that the site doesn't seem to be giving them what they want. I'm presenting a simplified version of our process, but if you'd like a copy of our ROI prioritized hypothesis list spreadsheet, that's a lot to say, send me an email at thelab@conversionsciences.com. Thank you for listening. I'm Brian Massey. Your conversion optimization program needs to find winners early and quickly. Revenue-generating, lead-generating winners. That's what we're about. Call us and ask us about our Conversion Catalyst program. This program will have you up and running and generating more revenue in 180 days. Visit www.conversionsciences.com to get the details. Give us a call, send us an email, fill out a form. We'll be on the phone with you within 24 hours.